When Peter saw the astonishment of those who had seen the lame man healed, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous man and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will sit together, Psalm 4. It's in page 587 in the Book of Common Prayer or in your bulletin.
While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Evangelios and Lucas 24. El Santo Evangelio de nuestro Señor Jesucristo según San Marco. Gloria a ti, Cristo Señor. Jesús se puso en medio de ellos y los saludó diciendo: "Paz a ustedes." Eso asustó mucho, pensaron que estaban viendo un espíritu, pero Jesús dijo: "¿Por qué están asustados? ¿Por qué tienen esas dudas en su corazón? Miren mis manos y mis pies, soy yo mismo. Tóquenme y vean, el espíritu no tiene carne y huesos, como ustedes ven que tengo yo." Al decirles esto, les enseño las manos y los pies. Pero como ellos no acaban de creerlo, a causa de la alegría y el asombro y sentían, Jesús les preguntó: "¿Tienen aquí algo que comer?" Y vieron un pedazo de pescado asado. Y él lo aceptó y lo comió en su presencia. Luego les dio lo que había pasado, es aquella que les anuncié cuando estaba todavía con ustedes, que había de cumplirse todo lo que está escrito aquí, la ley de Moisés, en los libros y los profetas, y en los salmos. Entonces hizo que entendieron las escrituras y les dijo: "Está escrito que la Mesías tenía que morir y resucitar al tercer día, y que en su nombre se anunciara a todas las naciones que se vuelven a Dios, para que Él les perdone e los pecados. Comenzando desde Jerusalén, ustedes deben dar testimonio de esta cosa, el Evangelio del Señor.
Te alabamos, Cristo Señor.
As you know, it is the tradition of the church for many centuries during Eastertide that instead of an Old Testament lesson, we read from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And we do this to hear again the story of the very beginnings of the church, how it struggled to find out who it was and how it was going to be in the world, how it began to function as followers of the risen Lord. And it was complicated, and it had its ups and downs, and it had its challenges. The earliest church, the church that we read of in the Acts of the Apostles, really thought of itself as being within the Jewish establishment. They did not see themselves apart from the Jewish heritage that was theirs. They thought of themselves as Jews. And remember that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was never a Christian.
reflected in Acts, and I think we need to say something about it, because it's one of those passages that frequently is used in a Christian context as a kind of invective against Jews. And the language is very clear and simple. You killed him. Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. This really, really has to be nuanced. Because remember, as we reflected on the Easter mystery at Easter time, Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus we see and we knew. Jesus was a human being like us. And Jesus was always God incarnate. When God spoke God's self into the created order, Jesus happened. And that's perfectly within the creation tradition. God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was. God divided the night from the day and said, let it be, and it was. God spoke God's self into the created order, and there was Jesus. Like every one of us, except without sin. And it's important to know that doctrine, that scriptural proclamation, is not he was without temptation in sin. It's only that he was without sin. And what we know, one of the important stories about Jesus at the very beginning, is the story of the temptation. 40 days in the desert at the very beginning of his ministry. We know that on the cross he experienced everything that we experience as human beings about dying. And we know that on the cross Jesus experienced the deepest, darkest despair and sense of abandonment that would be possible, and that we heard in the cry, Eli, Eli, Sabbath, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he died. And he really died. And he was buried. And we have the advantage every year of knowing what the end of the story is. And the gospel today is very similar to the gospel we read last Sunday, which was the story of Doubting Thomas. Remember, they were all closed up in a room because they were afraid. Their whole world had blown up in front of them. They didn't know what to do or how to do it. And in this story also, Jesus comes. And notice Luke's capturing of that sense of this is too good to be true. That sense of what we most deeply wanted, hoped for, dreamed about, longed for is happening. But that other side of the brain that says, this cannot be. This just cannot be. And so the contradiction of they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost, and their wandering, their joy, in their joy they were disbelieving and still wandering. Not a surprise. Think of a moment in your life when something so wonderful happened, something that maybe you didn't even know you were longing for, but something if you were longing for it, and it happens. and it comes as a complete surprise. Not because you're prepared for it, but it happens. That's the moment of joy and disbelieving, of doubting and wondering. That's the experience the apostles had when Jesus came to them as risen Lord, the risen Christ. God himself had raised himself up from the dead. And for us, therefore, death no more is the end. The other side of what we call death is life. And so the prayer book prays and gives thanks that as we go through the gate of the grave into eternal life, there's something here, therefore, to live for. There's joy and there's wonder, and I don't know how, but it is. And that's the place the disciples had to find. And so Jesus did with them, just like Jesus had done with Thomas. He didn't tell them anything. He just said, you know, it's me. Look. Look. It's me. It's really me. And he did what he had done over and over again in these incredibly intense situations where people were going, what just happened? God is here. And they were about to spin off into somewhere. And Jesus always brought them right back into the situation. And his line was usually the same. So have you got anything to eat? I was like, okay, you've looked, you've seen. Have you got anything to eat? I'm hungry. So they gave him some fish, and he ate it. Why? Because he was drawing them back into the simplicity and concreteness of how God has risen Christ is with us. That the resurrection is not simply a phantasm, but the resurrection of God in Christ is a resurrection of all of who Jesus was and all of who Jesus is. This stuff included. And that's at the heart of the Paschal mystery. And it's a real mystery. And mystery is not an excuse for lazy intellectualism or fuzzy thinking or dismissal. Mystery is what we come to when we have thought and we have prayed and we've reflected and we've wondered and we've joyed and we've celebrated and we get to that place where, you know, the truth is I can't explain it. But I know that this is the truth. And we say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. We joy in the midst of all of our doubts and wonderings. We can hear the voice of Christ saying to us, catch and see. Catch and see. And have you got anything to eat? And that comes to us in the voice of the hungry. It comes to us in the hand of the grandmothers that we pass every day in the streets of San Miguel. It comes to us in the campo. It comes to us in the heartaches and frustrations and disappointments of our own personal lives. It comes to us when we reach out to one another with love and compassion, simply because we can and you are. That same gentle, powerful reality, the risen Christ comes to us and says, look, touch, feed each other. And that feeding sometimes looks like quietly simply sitting with another. Sometimes it looks like actual food. Sometimes it looks like protest against injustice. Sometimes it looks like a 5-peso piece in the brown hand of one of the grandmothers who sit on our sidewalks. But it never, ever remains abstract. And it is never, ever the case that the Jews are the bad people who killed the Son of God. God was doing what God, in absolute freedom and love for us, had chosen to do, and it needed to get done. And not everybody's part was in the light. To get done what needed to get done meant to confront and bring forward the deepest, darkest part of the created order. And everybody had their part. Peter had his part. Judas had his part. The Jewish establishment had their part. And God did what God intended to do. Not because these people were bad people, but because they played their part. And God did not love them less because their part was the part of darkness. God is not with them less because in this moment their part was the part in darkness. Indeed, the risen Christ is God's proclamation. And what needed to be done is done. And there is redemption in Christ for all, without exception. We need to remember that when we read passages like the one from Acts. We need to remember that God comes to the doubting, to the wondering, to the disbelieving, to the baffled, and to those who live in darkness. The Gospel of John said he comes as light into that darkness. Not so we will be overwhelmed and crushed by that darkness, but precisely in order to raise us up into new light, to bring us into light. And in that new light, to send us out into the world, to be lights in that world. And as our baptismal covenant reminds us, when we sin, God continues to stand with us so that we can turn and find God, repent, receive forgiveness, and continue on. A beloved of God with a mission in this world. The joy of Easter is not that it's simply an overwhelmingly solving of all of our problems. The joy of Easter is to be found in living deeply through everything that life brings to us. In the knowledge of the truth that the risen Christ lives through it with us, that God gives us to each other for living through what must be lived through, for doing what must be done, and for celebrating that we got through it, that we did what needed to be done. And that's equally important to the easy stuff. You know, sometimes it's like, I remember going skiing once in New Hampshire, and there was this woman who appeared to be in her 30s. First time skiing, and the way you knew it is she had shiny skis, and she had all of the new fruity stuff that you could buy to make yourself look like a snow bunny. And she was all excited and ready to go, and she was about six seats ahead of me on the ski lift. One little detail she had forgotten, and that is when you get to the top of the mountain, you have to get off the lift. And so we continued up, and she is coming back down the mountain. Totally puzzled. Couldn't figure out what happened or what she was supposed to have done. One way of looking at that is to remember that God has a sense of humor. And that sense of humor is what allows us sometimes when we forget to get off the ski and we're on the way back down the mountain and life seems a tad confusing. The gift of the divine sense of humor allows us to get down without too much humiliation. Get back on the other side and go back up the mountain. That's what Easter does for us. The humiliation of going down the mountain doesn't last. The possibility of going back up is always there. There is great joy in the heart of God, I believe. When we have joy. There is great joy in the heart of God when we allow God to walk with us. There is great joy in the heart of God when in the risen life of Christ we give life to those around us in whatever form it might be. There is great joy in the heart of God when you and I remember that for all the wonder and mystery, Jesus' question was, "Have you got anything to eat?" Amen.